Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right, if you want to go with me to Acts chapter 1.
Do you want to use this one?
That's fine. Okay. Acts chapter 1. And got a good foundation this morning about the Holy Ghost, about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I should say, and initial evidence of speaking in tongues. And if you didn't catch part of the emphasis this morning, you know, being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, is a very important thing. It's not a side issue. It's not a side thing. And we're going to start getting into one particular aspect of speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. Is that yours? Yeah. But, I mean, just to let you know, I spent a big part of my life in ministry ministering the baptism of the Holy Ghost and having to teach on it and actually having to do a lot of unteaching on it, if you understand what I mean. And, you know, we got to a point, I was in a meeting in McCookchen, Nagaland, and just one night we had well over 8,000 people filled with the Holy Ghost. And in that particular meeting, you know, I've been thinking because, you know, going overseas to, you know, to India and the Soviet Union and, you know, all the different countries we were going through like that. And also in the States, we were starting to get thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And, you know, along with that, we were getting a lot of people saved. Amen. But even though we did crusades going after the lost, I mean, that was the target, right? That. Primarily, the Lord, you know, was leading me into churches and ministries, and, you know, we established churches, but we'd establish a church somewhere and then start getting inroads into the denominational churches or the established churches there in the country and whatever like that, and they'd find out about the church and that we were having miracles and healing, and they wanted to know why, and we started talking about it. So that just kept opening up doors. And like I said, I'm having to not just preach that there is a baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, but having to teach them about it. And the teaching ended up being unteaching, most of it. Because you can't teach a truth until you get rid of all the untruth. You know? So because of that, I've had to do an awful lot of study and a lot of messages and think about not only the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but particularly speaking in tongues. And I'm telling you what, it's almost an inexhaustible subject. You know, people just think, oh, you know, you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you get the evidence of speaking in tongues and you get to do that once in a church, and that's about all people think about speaking in tongues. No. We could be here for several months every day and not exhaust the subject. It's that much about it. Amen. You found your way to Acts chapter 1. Actually, Acts chapter 2, we already saw this morning, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues that the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen? And then, of course, the crowd saw them full, saw them drunk, saw them, you know, that was their opinion. They're like they're drunk. They're full of something. They're under the influence of something. And they're speaking in tongues out loud, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, is going up and down the streets of Jerusalem, praying in tongues, speaking in tongues out loud, looking like a drunk woman. Glory to God. Amen. And, you know, again, the crowd that wasn't really having a problem, it's the religious folks. And they made the accusation they were drunk of wine. And Peter got up by the Holy Ghost and started explaining. And if you remember, we looked at the verse where he said, you know, he actually said, this is, you know, this is not what you suppose. We're not drunk on what you suppose. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, Acts chapter 2, verse 16. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, he's quoting Joel, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. That's why I know I'm still middle-aged, because I keep having both. Amen. And since I'm aiming for at least 120, I probably got a while before I just, you know, have the one and not the other. Amen. Praise God. But that is supposed to be a supernatural thing happening with people. God's going to be appearing to people. And he didn't just say, just the apostles. He said, my sons and daughters. So this kind of stuff is opening to everybody. You know, I got saved when I was 7 years old and wasn't allowed to go to church because I went and told my parents that I was watching this puppet show on TV and I ended up praying with a puppet and got born again. And I went and told my parents and they forbid me from watching it anymore and didn't allow me to go to church, didn't allow me to have a Bible for a long time with that. But it was too late. I was saved. And I did know three things from the puppet. One, that I'm born again, and God is now my Father. Two, Jesus is my Lord, big brother, amen. And also, you know, that if I, you know, whenever I die, if I were to suddenly die, that I would go to heaven. That's pretty good for a seven-year-old to get, okay? Because I'd never heard any of that in church. You know, we were Christmas, Easter, wedding, funeral, Lutherans. At least my mom was. My dad wasn't anything. And we only did that on military basis. And I always remember Christmas Eve service because you had to go to the service because at the end of the service, everybody got the little candle with the cardboard ring around it. If you came home with the cardboard ring and the candle from church, you opened your presents Christmas Eve. If you didn't, you had to wait till the morning. So, you know, so my whole idea of going to church was pass the candles out. Come on, let's go. Come on, pass the candle. Let's get this moving. And as we're walking out the door, you know, and bless you in the name of the Father, I got that. In the name of the Son, got that. And the Holy Ghost. Who's Holy Ghost? I mean, this will date you. I'm thinking, Holy Ghost, is that like Space Ghost? You know, it was a cartoon Space Ghost. Like that. I had no idea what that was talking about. But I'd gotten saved. I don't even have a Bible. But I'm born of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's on the inside of me. And I knew that I could talk to God. And so every night, I did it through the day, but for sure every night when doors closed, they've said goodnight and they don't know what I'm doing in my bed before I went to bed, I just talked to my Father. And he talked to me. And, you know, it wasn't until I was 15 and a half that I was able to start going to church because I got, you know, my learner's permit and then finally to the point where I could solo, you know, whatever. And I'm going to study, which I was. I'd met some people at school who were Christians and their parent, one of the parents was doing a Bible study every night. So I said, I got to go study, which I was. And they kept the Bible and notebooks for me because if I brought them home, my parents would throw them away. But before I even met them, you know, from the age of 7 to the age of 15, I'm talking with God every night. And God's talking to me. I thought that was normal. I started going to church and hanging around Christians and mentioned it, and they thought that was abnormal. Amen. Not only is prayer communicating with God, but it's God also communicating to you. It's interesting, the Hebrew word for prayer, and also the Greek word for prayer, if you dig into their history, because, you know, most words in English come from other languages. So you can keep tracing back where words came from. Well, if you take that word prayer all the way back to the first time that it's ever mentioned and used, it was kind of like a Syrophoenician word. And what it basically means is to have a conversation. And their word is if you're praying, you're breathing. And how many of you go the whole day long and only breathe in? How many of you go the whole day long and only breathe out? No, you're breathing in, you're breathing out. Well, that's what prayer is supposed to be. Father, and then Father. That's what it's supposed to be. And the Holy Ghost helps us have that prayer life with the Father. Amen. Intimately. Now, if you're just born of the Spirit, and I don't want to belittle it because that means you're born again. Amen. But if that's the only experience you've had so far, the Holy Spirit's still going to help you. You still have all that access to the Father, and he's going to help you. Well, he took my prayer from, imagine what a seven-year-old is praying, okay, to the time, by the time I'm 15, it's more praising him, honoring him. He taught me that. I didn't learn it in church. I didn't read it in the Bible. He's teaching me how to pray, how to do these things. And he started nudging me before I was 15, just you know, a couple months before. He started nudging me that there was something more. And so I approached him. It was actually 2 weeks after my 15th birthday. I just basically went into my room one night and said, Father, I don't know what it is, but there's some kind of a gift or something that you want to give me, that you want me to have. And if you want me to have something, then I want to receive it. If you're wanting me to have it, I want to get it. And I'll take it now, Father. I'll receive it now. Next thing you know, I'm on the floor. And something's all over me. And it was really good. And it was awesome. And I suddenly realized this, that what's has come on me and taken me to the floor and is all over me and filling me up isn't any different than what's been deep down inside of me these whole 7 years, wow. 8 years. So I realized I didn't get something different or strange. It's just more of a better experience of what I've already got inside. But now, wow. Being raised in the South, and, you know, when you learn manners, if you didn't use your manners, you got smacked in public. So being a good Southern boy raised up with manners, I just got given a gift. I'm going to say thank you. So I opened my mouth to say thank you, and thank you didn't come out. I literally tried for about 10 minutes to say thank you, and I couldn't say thank you. These other things kept coming out. For 10 minutes, I swear, I was doing it. And all of a sudden I realized, you know, when those other things are coming out of my mouth, those syllables are coming out of my mouth, something's happening here. Yeah. Now, you got to understand, I'd never read a Bible about that. I'd never heard anybody preach about that. It was over a year later, actually about a year and a half later, I'm at this Bible study where I met this girl and whatever, she invited me into the family Bible study. And about 2 weeks of coming every Thursday, that family got together and thought, you know, Ron's probably ready to get filled with the Holy Ghost. So they set up one Thursday that we did the Bible study where at that, when everybody went, supposed to go to the kitchen for cookies and drinks and stuff like that, Marie and her mother stayed there and everybody else went in the kitchen and prayed. So they say, there's something more that you can have with God, and we'd like to show you what it is in the Bible, and then we want to pray with you to receive it. And I'm like, well, hey, if it's in the Bible, yeah. So they start going through scriptures, and I realize what they're talking about. And so I stopped them and said, you know, and I'd never heard anybody say speaking in tongues. What, you know? And I said, I stopped them and said, this thing that you're talking to me about, you want to pray about? I think I already got this. No, see, we're going to show you the scriptures. And I said, yeah, but I'm telling you, I think I already got this. And so finally, I said, well, I mean, do you really think that? I said, well, how about we do that? Why don't we just stop and put our Bibles down, whatever, and just, you know, lift our hands, close, you know, just praise God a little bit. So they said, okay. So we put our Bibles on. We, you know, we start out, you know, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, we love you, Lord. And then I kicked into my gibberish. Both of them stopped, dropped their hands, big eyes, looked at me, and Marie goes, my God, you can speak in tongues. And my answer was, oh, is that what this is called? So instead of showing me what it is and then praying for me to receive it, now we went into the Bible to see what the Bible said that I had received, and I was already operating it. So the Lord, because I was hungry and seeking him, the Lord continually kept teaching me to walk in and receive the things I have. When I finally got a Bible and I was reading the Bible, I don't know how many times I would read a scripture and go, I already know this scripture. Because God's been speaking the scripture to me for years, which is why I still to this day can quote scripture, and I can't tell you where the reference is, because a lot of the scriptures I learned from God directly, and he didn't say. Now, over in Isaiah 26, he just say the scripture to me. But also, I began to realize that all those years of speaking in tongues, and, you know, what I really loved about it, too, is that night I found it, because, you know, I started doing it. I had been complaining to the Lord about the fact that every single night I wanted to, you know, I'm telling him how much I love him and appreciate what that, and I'd run out of words. I remember going to one of our public libraries and getting permission to use the Oxford dictionary thing, and it took me several hours, but I went through there and looked for every kind of adjective there was, and I made a list or whatever. Well, I come back, and I went through that whole list, and I knew there was still a whole bunch of stuff in my heart, but it's actually in my spirit that I wanted to express to God, but I used my words up. After praying in tongues for a while, after I realized, you know, that this is God, and this is good, on the floor, I still didn't know it was tongues, but I did understand this. Whatever this gibberish was that was coming out of my mouth, my heart is emptying. I don't know how I knew that I knew, other than now I understand, getting understanding from the Holy Ghost. But I was literally able to express my whole spirit, my whole heart to God, praising in English first, but then with tongues, to the point where I had completed it. And I could lay down and go to sleep. And I could do that now every night. Fully expressed. Of course, later I found out what Scripture teaches about that we're giving perfect praise. We're giving thanks well. You know, we're giving complete well, all by the help of the Holy Ghost. So that's just one aspect of it. But that's how I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's how I got taught a lot of these things. The Lord taught me before I ever had a Bible. But he used Scripture that he spoke directly to me, or the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And then after I started speaking in tongues, and all of a sudden, I'd know what I was saying. And I was quoting out Scripture that I didn't realize. You know, I had all these little papers that I had written out what I had said. And when I read through, I'm right, why not go look at the papers? Well, he's the guy that wrote the Bible. Wouldn't he know what he wrote? Yeah. Amen. So people are so limited in their understanding and thinking of how much help we really have by the Holy Ghost and what tongues does for us. Now, let's look at a little closer what he says there. Go to Joel chapter 2, verse 28, 29. You know, this is what Peter was quoting. And he said, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters." Anybody in here a son? Anybody in here a daughter? Yep. So that like covers everybody? Uh-huh. Amen. "On your sons and your daughters," and here's the key phrase I want you to get, "and they shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens, in those days will I pour out my spirit." Now, the word prophecy there, a basic definition of prophecy is you're speaking utterance because you're given utterance supernaturally. In other words, God's supernaturally giving you utterance to speak and the ability to speak it. Now, the Hebrew word translated prophecy all through the Old Testament is the word na-ba. And it literally means, okay, to prophesy, but it means to speak by inspiration of the moment. It's like suddenly you're inspired to say something. Amen? So think about this. Who can be filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, every son and daughter. So every child of God, which means every person on the earth has the potential of being born of the Spirit, becoming a child of God, son or daughter, and therefore be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and therefore be able to prophesy. In other words, be able to speak by inspiration of the moment. Hallelujah. The Greek word for prophecy is prophetiuo. Prophetiuo. And it can mean prophecy. It also means to speak under inspiration. But now here's something that a lot of people don't understand. Prophecy also means to foretell or forthtell. I'll explain the difference between the two. It means to foretell or forthtell, and it says specifically events. Now, foretell is literally what most people think prophecy is, that you're predicting events and things in the future. So when people say, well, they're prophesying. Oh, they must be speaking about future events. No. Prophecy, actually the simple gift of prophecy in Corinthians says it just means edification, exhortation, and comfort. Amen? And simple prophecy is not to give people direction. Do you realize in the New Testament it's unscriptural to go to a prophet and ask them to give you direction? Or to get up on a line and have, you know, where some prophets... Well, actually, I call them nonprofit ministries because they're not prophets. And it's bad enough if they're doing it because they figured out a way in their mind to put things together and speak things that people want to hear. What's bad is if you do that, not yielding to and obeying the Holy Ghost, you'll start yielding to spirits who will help you say things, familiar spirits. And they know stuff about people. So they'll get them to say, oh, you know, you live at whatever like that, and then they got you hooked. And, oh, now they're going to tell me you're supposed to do this, supposed to do that, and that's not what God's will is for you at all. Now, in the Old Testament, if you wanted to hear from God, if you wanted direction from God, you had to go to the prophet. If you wanted to communicate to God and praise God, get an offering unto God, you had to go to the priest. Both of those men were anointed upon, it wasn't in them, but anointed upon with the Spirit and the anointing to operate in those offices. The priest helped you minister unto the Lord. The prophet helped the Lord minister unto the people. So you had to go to a prophet to hear from the Lord. Unless there, you know, there were special cases where God with an angel or whatever appeared to individuals. But when he did, he was anointing them to experience that. But the minute that whatever he had to tell them and whatever they did was done, that would lift. It didn't abide on them. Right. You know, you look at what Gideon said before that came on him, and he was a babbling idiot. You look at how he spoke and things that he thought and said after the anointing left, once the task was done, and he's back to his brain functioning without the help of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Well, that's Old Testament. In the New Testament, I don't have to go to a prophet to find out, to hear from God by the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because I got the Holy Ghost right here. Right. See, I don't have to go to somebody else to prophesy out my future. By the Holy Ghost, I can prophesy out my own future, thank you very much. And we're supposed to. Yeah. Now, that's forthtelling. Forthtelling is future. Okay? Foretell, F-O-R-E, right, is future. Right. Forthtelling is something completely different. Most of the Old Testament and the book of Revelation is foretelling. I always forget the exact number because there's a dispute about 50 scriptures, but somewhere between 800 and 880 scriptures in the Old Testament prophesy specifically about Jesus and his coming and how he was going to come, when he was going to come, what he was going to do, and what he was going to accomplish. That's forthtelling. The book of Revelation is, the first three verses are written to churches that were there. That's different. But from chapter 4 on, it's all forthtelling. It's what's going to happen in the future. Yeah. The bulk of the rest of the Old Testament and pretty much all of the Gospels in the New Testament is not foretelling. It's forth, F-O-R-T-H, telling. In other words, it's by inspiration you're able to speak and explain what has occurred and what is already done. Do you realize the bulk of the scriptures in the New Testament are about what God has already done for you? Who you already are in Christ? Yeah. What you already have in Christ? What you can already do in Christ? So edification, exhortation, and comfort invokes primarily foretelling. It brings comfort and exhortation, whatever, because it's reminding of us who we are and what we have and what Christ did for us and what belongs to us. Amen? So it's not telling us mostly the future. It's telling us what we have. Well, the bulk of what we are going to be speaking out when we prophesy and also when we speak in tongues, which is when you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking forth by inspiration of the moment. You're speaking out utterance given to you by inspiration of the Holy Ghost of the moment. Now, it equals prophecy when somebody interprets. Because if I speak in prophecy in English, you hear what I'm saying. If I say it in tongues, you don't get it unless I interpret. So if I speak in tongues and interpret, it's like hearing it prophecy. But again, typically in churches and when we're doing, and a lot of times when Pastor Gene and I are ministering, by the Spirit, we'll start forth-telling. Forth-telling. Instead of just speaking out of our heads, knowledge and stuff like that, by the Holy Ghost, we're speaking things about who we are, about what we have in Christ, about what already belongs to us and we can walk in. That's all by the Spirit, and that's speaking by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Yeah. Now, so in other words, again, foretelling is in a way, it's predicting the future. Foretelling is basically to speak forth and reveal knowledge and understanding of the past and the present. So, again, if you read the epistles, the bulk of what Paul wrote was what Jesus has done. Right. And then he got revelation and wrote and spoke forth what Jesus is doing. You know, Paul's the one that got the revelation that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father as our high priest. Amen? Making intercession for us. He's the one that got revelation of that. How did he get that? Well, we're going to talk about that more on Wednesday. But he got it by yielding to the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues until he literally began to understand what he was saying and started interpreting in his known language and spoke it out to himself. And he talks about when he went and preached to places, he didn't depend on his own wisdom or knowledge or ability to speak, even though he was trained. He depended on the Spirit and the gifts or the manifestations of the Spirit to preach the gospel. Why? Because if I'm doing it out of my own ability or out of my head, my own wisdom, I'm aiming for your head, which means you get head knowledge, which is mental assent, which is not faith. But if I'm speaking by the Holy Ghost, guess what? It's not going to your head. Your head might be going, what is he saying? I don't understand what he's saying. I'm speaking to your heart. I'm planting seed of the word in your heart. And if you do it without the Holy Ghost, you're just heading people. It's just a mental. And then you wonder why people, they have knowledge in their head about these promises, but they can't attain to them. Because faith isn't of the head. Some of you should shout hallelujah, because your head is nuts. How many of you notice at an unbelievable wrong moment, your head just starts thinking of things? Where did that come from? Well, sometimes it comes from you, but a lot of times it comes from the devil, from the world, whatever. You decide what goes in your heart. Yep. Glory to God. And it's believing in your heart, not believing in your head. Which is why when God wanted them to minister and to preach the word, he did it by supernatural utterance so it would penetrate the hearts. There were people that were listening to Jesus' teaching that immediately they didn't understand what he was saying because they were trying to figure out what he was saying in their heads. But that seed was actually being planted in their heart. And a lot of them, because they kept seeking God, they ended up getting the understanding of it. Amen. Is this helping anybody?
Yes.
Okay. So you're revealing knowledge and understanding again of things that are past, and specifically about Jesus and who we are in Christ and his ministry today and our ministry in our position in Christ today. If it starts talking about our future, like the rapture that's coming, amen, that is forth telling. That's future, predicting future. Amen. But primarily, it's having to do with present and what we already have. So a lot of what's going to come out of our mouth when we're speaking in tongues is stuff that already is. It's already established. Amen. It's already knowledge. But we need to keep getting that knowledge. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. There you go. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. And by the way, there's other scripture that says the fact that the scriptures we have because men prophesied. So they didn't sit down and write it out. They got up, and by the power and inspiration of the Holy Ghost, they spoke these things out, and then they wrote them down. In fact, a lot of the letters from Paul to the churches, and Peter, and James, they're writing back to churches that they've been to personally and have supernaturally uttered to them the gospel and the foundation of Christ Jesus. The letters were writing back, says, remember I told you? Now I know some of you, there are people coming in saying that this truth, but remember, you know, that's not right, because remember, I told you this. So don't accept what they're saying. So a lot of the letters were actually written, and thank God we have them, but they were written because they were re-emphasizing what they had spoke to them. Or they were correcting things. Hey, that's not what you were taught. Let's straighten this out now. Amen. Well, because of all that, we have the complete doctrine of Christ in the New Testament because of the letters and the epistles. But all of that came out by prophecy, by supernatural utterance. And Paul himself will see that. A lot of times he got up there and started speaking in tongues and then interpreted. And that's how he preached. Glory to God. Let's finish reading that. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That word moved, it's really interesting. It's phiro, is the Greek word. It means to bear or carry along as with a flood. So these guys are up there getting to minister at that, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost would come like a rushing flood, and just, you know, nothing is going to stand still, right? Everything's going to get swept away. So it literally has the connotation that the Spirit would come on them and literally just sweep them away, meaning they have no control. They've got to go the direction of the Spirit and say what the Spirit is saying, because literally everything that's written based on everything they spoke is absolutely perfect, because they had no ability to be part of what was said other than to open their mouth and yield. Amen. So go back and read the sermon that on the spot came out of Stephen's mouth before they stoned him to death. Talk about inspiration of the moment. And it went all the way back to the garden and brought you up to Christ risen from the grave. Right. In a nice little sermonette. He didn't have that prepared. He didn't have that written down and prepared to speak. And notes are at that. You notice I don't look at my notes a lot. I'll tell you why, because I do more listening than I speak. It's just I've learned not to have to pause as much. Before he'd start speaking, I'd have to pause and hear what he had to say and then say it. Now I've learned to get rid of the pause. Anyway, so you catch what prophecy is, true prophecy. Well, that's what you're doing when you're speaking in tongues. And here's the really beautiful thing about speaking in tongues. Now, if he's giving me inspiration to say something in English, I could add to it or take away from it, because I hear immediately I'm hearing what I'm saying, right? So I could add to it or take away from it. When I'm speaking in tongues, I can't add to it or take it away from it, because initially I don't have any clue what I'm saying. I'm speaking out in a mystery, divine secrets. Amen. And then he promised he'll begin to give us understanding and begin to, you know, interpretation or understanding of that. We're gonna see all that. Look at Romans chapter 8. Now, I want to start taking this into prayer, because I don't do a lot of group prayer unless I really know the people. Because I got so tired of being in places where 90% of what people were praying was, I could just turn to five scriptures and tell them what they said, which was unscriptural. Which means God's not going to hear it. I mean, he knows you said it, but he's not going to hear it with him authority to do it, because it's not his word. Amen? When you speak in tongues, every single thing that you're saying, and when you're praying in tongues, everything, the single thing that you're praying is exactly, perfectly God's will. You can't mess it up because you don't know what you're saying. You're just yielding your mouth. Well, that does. I don't know if I want to lose, give up control like that. Yes, you do. You know, here's the benefit of speaking in tongues. James says, no man by himself can tame his tongue. You just can't do it. And then he goes on to say, if somebody could get a hold of their tongue, get control of their tongue, they could control their whole body and keep themselves in check. Well, if you're yielding your tongue to the Holy Ghost, it's the Holy Ghost speaking through you. You're giving control of your mouth to the Holy Spirit. Guess who can tame your tongue and by it tame your body? The Holy Spirit can. Which is another reason why people don't want to speak in tongues. They don't want to speak in tongues or pray in tongues because I want to know everything I'm saying. And also, I don't want to give up control. Well, if it's God and the Holy Ghost, yes, you do. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That has nothing to do with sickness or disease. That's not what the word means. It actually means inabilities. And he mentions a big inability. Are you ready for it? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, how many of you know we need to be speaking things? And we need to be praying things. So that we're by faith speaking things out, praying things out, so that those words can go forth and God can use those words and perform things and God can answer the prayer, right? If we don't say things and pray things and do things on the earth, God doesn't have authority to move and do things. Because we're the ones that have authority. Amen. It's the same thing with the devil, by the way. The devil and his kingdom, whatever, they can't do anything unless somebody gives them use of their authority. And this is the number one place you give up your authority. So what he's kind of saying here, now I know you need to speak. And I know you need to pray about things. But the problem is, you don't know everything. Is there anybody in here that knows everything? Okay. Amen. Right? But he does. Yeah. Amen. So he says, let's get together. Now listen to how I'm saying this. The Holy Spirit does not have authority to pray with effect to change things on the earth. Because he doesn't have a physical body. Only right now, there's a dispensation right now of Adam. If you have a physical body born of Adam, okay, born of flesh on the earth, you have an authority here that you can exercise on the earth that God doesn't have right now and the devil doesn't have. He was using it because Adam's fall, but how many of you know Jesus got that back? Amen? People say, well, that's just not true. God can just do anything he wants to. Then you're blaming God for everything bad that's happened on the earth and is happening. If that's true, then everybody would be saved. Because the Bible says it's clearly God's will that no one would perish, everybody be saved, that everybody come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So why isn't everybody saved? Because not everybody has with their heart believed what Jesus has done for them, that he's done for us through Jesus, and done what? Confessed with their mouth he's Lord. The moment you do that, God now can take what Jesus did and legally make it a reality in your life. What about the person next to him? They got to open their mouth and give that authority too. Amen. Well, why do bad things happen on the earth? Because there are all kinds of people who are saying things and giving authority to the people who are doing bad things. Why do good things happen on the earth? Because there are people who are saying God's word and praying God's word and giving God authority to move.
Yes.
Amen. So now how does he do that? How does the Holy Ghost help us pray? But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That word groanings there is, in its simplest form, is translated syllabling. Anybody notice that praise in tongues? Have you noticed that you really don't speak any words? It's just syllables. Well, that's what you're doing. I said, but it doesn't make any sense. Are you praying to you? When you pray, who are you praying to? Well, we're about to read. The Father knows everything that the Holy Ghost is getting you to say. Here's what I like about praying in tongues. Only the Father knows what I'm saying. Which means the devil, the enemy, they don't know all the things I'm speaking out. We're setting up plans and ambushes for the enemy and things like that, and he ain't got a clue. He can't break the code. So all of a sudden, bam, we have a victory in Christ for the kingdom with that, and he goes down, and he didn't know what hit him. He didn't know where it came from. I'm going to tell you right now, because I study history, particularly World War II. Up until 1944, I'm serious, end of 1944, there was a good possibility we weren't going to win in Europe or in the Pacific. It wasn't a decided fact yet that we were going to win the wars. Amen. And if you study like I have, you see all these things over and over again where God intervened. And why did God intervene? Because people prayed and gave him authority to intervene. But one of the number one ways we were able to defeat not just the Germans, the Axis powers there, but also the Japanese, is because we were always able to constantly break their code. So we would know what they were doing, and we would read about and find out about them trying to set up an ambush for us, and we would turn it into an ambush against them. And the same thing started happening in Europe because between the Americans and the British, we broke the enigmas, the code. That information wasn't even given out until the 90s.
Right.
Amen. So we knew everything that they were going to do. And again, God's intervention with that. But the devil doesn't know what we're going to do. You know, the devil reads the Bible. You know, he can quote the Bible. He quotes it all the time, misquotes it all the time. But he doesn't understand it. He doesn't have revelation of it. He read all those 880 prophets talking about Jesus coming, and he didn't recognize who Jesus was when he came. And he didn't realize all those prophets were saying, if you crucify, bruise, beat, kill, this promise that he'll crush your authority and bring redemption to man. He read all of that for how many thousands of years and didn't get it? Why? Because he didn't have the Holy Ghost to give him understanding. Right? You catching that? In fact, we're going to read this on Wednesday, but there's a passage that said that if Satan and the demons and the powers of darkness would have known what they were doing, they never would have crucified Christ. Because what they thought was going to be their ultimate victory ended up becoming their ultimate defeat. And how did all those people speak all that out? By inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Because they said it, God could do it. Well, how many of you know there's a bunch of things that God needs to do? Now, we have the Word, the written Word. We can pray the Word. And again, if you feel like your tongues isn't saying anything, remember, you're not talking to you or in English. It's syllabling. But, well, let me read the next verse. And he that searcheth the hearts, that's the Father. Scripture says that. He that searcheth the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he, that's the Holy Spirit, always makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So every single thing the Holy Ghost has you utter is the perfect will of the Father. And the Father knows what you're saying. And because you're saying it in a physical body on this earth, the Father now has the authority to do it. Amen. Isn't this cool? That's right. I really love speaking in tongues. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. We'll pick this up. We'll get going. You guys okay? Because we are going to minister healing. Now, how is this going to turn into healing? I got it at the drum set this morning. God is good. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, which would be his word too. Amen. We know he hears us. If we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions we've desired of him. So if I say or pray anything according to God's word, according to God's will, he hears us and he answers it and is going to perform that word. Well, if everything I say in tongues is the perfect word and will of God, what am I doing every time I'm speaking in tongues? God's hearing it. And therefore, I know that everything I'm speaking, I have, even if I right now don't know in the world what in the world I'm speaking. But I know it's good. I know it's the good will of God. Now, how many of you have ever tried to pray about something and very quickly you ran out of what to pray in English? You know, even though you prayed scripture, whatever. But you know what? You might be praying the right scripture to apply to this situation the way it is. See, I learned a long time ago, pray in tongues first. You know, I pray in English, you know, Father, I come to you. And then I, Holy Ghost, you help me pray the perfect will. And as I do that, I start getting inspired by the Holy Ghost to pray certain scriptures. And most of the time, it's not scriptures I would have thought of praying and applying to the situation. I'm thinking of something else. You know, I know there's all these books about fill-in-the-blank prayers. Prayers avail much with that. The reason I do like them is they give people the word for situations. But it's still not ultimately accurate prayer for every situation. This is where you need to yield to the Holy Ghost. And I don't know how many times, again, I've gone to a situation, you know, and I got my list of scriptures for this situation. I know it's a cookie-cutter thing. And the Holy Ghost doesn't use any of my scriptures on my thing. He starts inspiring me. And as I'm doing that, I start getting an understanding of the situation that nobody has. Because remember, God knows everybody's hearts and motives and what's really going on. So we need the Holy Spirit. And we need to be speaking in tongues if we're going to pray accurately and we're going to say perfectly. And again, we're always praying God's perfect will when we're praying in tongues. Now let's take that, we're going to go another direction on Wednesday, but we're going to take it more into prayer. But let's take this toward healing. So we're going to talk about praying in tongues and healing. Yeah, I depend on the Holy Ghost to walk in healing and health. Now I use the word, but I let the Holy Ghost help me use the word. In other words, to use it correctly with that. Let me throw a few scriptures at you. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord that teacheth thee to profit, right? Which, now catch this, I love it, which leadeth thee in the way that thou shouldest go. So how many of you want the Holy Ghost to do that constantly? Well, you got to be yielding to him. John chapter 16, I believe verse 13. Yep, I did get it right. Okay. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's going to guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. In other words, he's not going to speak even his own thing. He's only going to tell you what he hears the Father and Jesus say. Well, if he's only telling you and showing you what the Father and Jesus say, then you're only going to get the Father's perfect will. And what else is he going to do? He's going to guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And oh, look at this one. And he will show you things to come. Not only show you what's coming, but how to handle what's coming. I've taught this for years, and people, I make this start talking about it, and people are just like about it. The things that God is having, that God is teaching you and preparing you and teaching you how to walk in now is preparation for what you're going to have to be facing and walking in later. So if what you're getting from the Lord and what he's showing you doesn't seem to make sense now, just learn it. Just study it. Just get used to it. Why? Because all of a sudden you're going to be in the middle of combat. And you're going to go, I'm really glad that I learned and trained how to handle this weapon and use this weapon, even blindfolded. You know, when I was in the Marine Corps and we did missions and things like that, the bulk of the time when I was on missions and doing things, all I was doing was reacting. I really wasn't thinking. I was reacting, and what is reacting? Well, remember high school plays, some musical? You go for weeks and 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 what? Rehearse. What are you doing? You're acting out the play over and over and over again. And then on opening night, all you do is get up and react. You just get up and do and say what you've been doing and saying all those weeks of rehearsal. So the Holy Ghost will start having you do things that don't seem to make any sense for right now. He'll have you start learning things and saying things that don't seem to make any sense for what I'm dealing with and doing right now. Why? He's getting you ready for then. So when all the pressure hits you, bam, and you don't have time to think, you just react. And what do you react? You react with the things he taught you to do, and you react by saying the things he taught you to say. Amen? That's what the Holy Ghost does. And he's going to show you things to come. That word show there is really interesting. It's from the Greek word that actually means reprise, which is a musical term. If you're reading music and you come to the word reprise, you look back for, I forget what it's called, Gene. There's a little thing in a circle that if you hit the reprise, it means you go back to this one mark and you play that whole section again. Right. Yeah, there you go. So that's what he's saying. He's not just going to show you about things to come. He's going to show you. And then he's going to show you. 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 And you're going to get to the point of, okay, I got it. Well, not quite. So he shows you again. And he tells you again. Amen. Why? Because then when you get to that place, you're going to know that you 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 know that this is the right thing to do in this situation. Why? Because he showed it again and again and again until you're like, okay. That's what that really is talking about. Now, here's the point of that. If the Holy Ghost is trying to show you or teach you something about the future, something you're going to do right there, he's not going to tell you one time. It's something he's going to tell you when you go back in prayer again and start spending time with God, worshiping, praying in tongues again. He's going to bring it up again. He's going to bring it up again. So that you're going to, oh, yeah, this is from God. I mean, he's just been talking to me for a whole year. He's been talking to me about this. Instead of people that went to the sound booth and got the prophecy from the prophet in the service, and they get the tape, and they go home, and every day they play the prophecy over and over again. So some guy spoke a prophecy one time, and they're living their whole life trying to fulfill a so-called word from God that was spoken one time. Everything I've ever done, especially major for God, is something that God has dealt with me about, talked to me about, spoke to me about again and again and again. You know, by the time it comes around, that's not even a question that this is right, that this is God. See how he does that? Which means you need to constantly be speaking in tongues. You need to constantly be praying and doing that. Why? So that he can show you and show you and show you. And as he does that, he'll show you more. You'll start getting a little bit more details. It's like he's constantly painting a picture. And the more he says and talks, the more the details are. And you get to the point that I know exactly what he wants me to do, how I'm going to do it, where at that. But that doesn't come in one shot. It's over time. Now, I walk in this all the time with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I do it all the time concerning ministry, concerning family, concerning, you know, everything I've been in. Now, again, he gave us the word. The Holy Ghost gave us the word. So one of the ongoing things he's going to do is constantly give us more revelation and understanding of the written word. But it's going to come in degrees as you're able to handle it. You know, it's like when you get this, then we'll move on to the next thing. So if you're still stuck on this, that's why you can't hear anything more. I learned this from God. I'm not going to tell you about doing something more than what I'm already telling you to do until you're doing what I've already told you to do. Because right. then you're ready to hear the next thing.
Right.
So it's not just hearing, but once you know, you need to start being a doer of it. You need to submit to it. Then more comes. Then more comes. But concerning healing, let me close with this as a testimony. Get ready, because we're going to lay hands on people. There's some people in here that are going to walk out of here without pain.
Hallelujah.
And some changed conditions. Because Jesus already paid for it. We're just going to make sure it's applied tonight. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
You don't seem very excited about that. Is there a football game I didn't know that was on TV or something like that? You know, as much as I like sports and play sports, you know, a bunch of guys getting sweaty and carrying a pigskin back and forth, whoopee. And as much as I like golf and love golf, I don't let it come before the Lord and the things of the kingdom. And actually, I've backed off of it even more. I'm trying to think the last time I played a round of golf. I sold and gave everything away and put the money into the ministry.
Yes.
Amen. Doesn't mean those things are sin, but they are if they take the place what God's called you to. But you know what? It's a lot funner serving God and walking with God. I'm trying to think exactly how many years ago, whatever, at that, but because of traveling, particularly going overseas, and the conditions of the way I was able to travel and things like that, it was taking a toll on my body. In fact, when this thing began to happen, people were wondering how I managed to make it as long as I did. Well, praise the Lord. But I had a condition with, you know, sitting on planes. And I'm talking about mostly sitting on planes that are not like American planes, where there aren't cushions on the seats. And it isn't a smooth ride. So your body and your behind and your legs are getting smacked constantly. Trains, you're sitting on wood benches for 20 hours, 30 hours. You know, boats, you name it, cars that need to have, they need to learn about a thing called shock absorbers. You know, driving through the jeeps in India, what that, those little gypsies and jeeps like that, and you could draw a map of the road on what you felt riding in the vehicle. I mean, and that's every day. That's all the time. Well, it's hitting. Plus some things I did in the Marine Corps where I got injured. But all of a sudden, I'm on a flight to Australia, 18-hour flight to Australia, and I fell asleep. I don't normally, never really slept, like maybe a half an hour. I slept like 8 hours. I never normally did that. And they woke me up, you know, so that I could have time to have breakfast and get ready to land. And when I tried to stand up, my left leg, it was like, you know what a K-bar is? Military guys know what a K-bar is. You know, I'm not talking about a knife. I'm talking about a K-bar with a blade that wide. It felt like somebody stabbed me in the back, in the hip, and the lower part of my leg. And I fell back into the chair. Ow. Now, I got to minister in Australia and go out into the bush for 3 weeks. And I did. I still, you know, grace of God, because it hurt all 24 hours a day of every day I was doing it. And I could only lay on my right side or sit kind of on my right side leaning. If I started to lean on my left, K-bars. If I lay down on my back, K-bars. If I laid on my left, K-bars. I got through that. I still don't know how I got through the plane rides home. But I got home. And the whole time I'm praying in tongues and I'm believing God. And like I said, because of my condition, I shouldn't have been able to do what I did. But I got through it. And I come home and I go to see doctors and whatever like that, you know, to do it. And what had happened was, because of things moving around, there was friction, whatever. And my bursa sacs got inflamed. And they literally exploded and filled my whole leg. And in the back, my glutes, it pushed my glutes away, so I'm sitting on my bone, and my hip is sitting on the bone, you know, so you can imagine how bad it was. So they said, well, first of all this has got to, all the swelling, everything's got to go down. So for 2 months, I'm on my right side, icing and whatever like that, until it finally all went down. Amen. And then now we're going to look at it. They're taking x-rays and CT scans, or I forget the one thing, test. Everybody, well, we got to do a hip replacement, we got a knee replacement, we got to fuse your lower back. And they're showing me the x-rays, and I know enough to know, yeah, that's what it looks like. But no, you're not cutting open my back. They said, well, then you'll be in pain. No. There's got to be something else. So remember, this whole time I'm quoting scripture. I'm putting out my faith and believing God for healing. Now, that's part of it. But I'm also praying in the Holy Ghost and I'm seeking God. Now, listen to me. Listen to the statement about how to pursue my healing and health. Because I may be seeking healing first, but it's going to eventually turn into just health where I don't need healing. So the Lord began to talk to me about this lady we had a chiropractor that treated us for free because of missionary work, treated the whole family. Well, I mean, I didn't abuse it going at a time, but, you know, after a couple trips or whatever, it was nice to go in there and get moved around a little bit, and they had massage tables, and it's just like, thank you, you know. So the Lord reminded of this lady, so I went in to talk to her, and I told her the situation. And she said, well, what did the doctor? So I told, you know, she wanted to hear the whole thing. So I told her the whole thing, you know, the x-rays are. And she goes, well, I actually agree with all of their diagnosis, but I happen to know that there's an awful lot of things that God has just touched you and healed you of. And I don't know if you notice it, but I'm wearing a hearing aid in my right ear now. It's completely alive now. When I was 4, I had meningitis, and it ate the eardrum, the hammer, the anvil, the stirrup, the cochlea, didn't just damage the hairs, ate the cochlea, ate all the nerve endings and that part of the brain. It didn't exist in my body anymore. It was just a big swell warp mark that was plugging my ear. So there's no hearing. Nothing's alive on that side of my head. 2 weeks after I got filled with the Holy Ghost and started speaking in tongues, I started having earaches. And it wasn't until 2 years later that I went to the Marine Corps that I thought I was having earaches. And they decided, well, let's check into this. So we had x-rays where there's nothing there. And so they said, well, it's probably infection. We're going to put a tube in. When they went to put the tube in, they hit something. And they stopped and went, whoa, wait a minute. There's something there. Let's take x-rays again. Well, they took x-rays again. There's a brand new eardrum, brand new hammer, anvil, stirrup, brand new cochlea, brand new nerves ending, and brand new part of the brain. Now, it's all there. Within 3 months, the nerves came alive. How many of you know nerves don't? You know, they don't grow back, but they also don't come back alive. And that part of the brain, what is that? I now have 100% conductive hearing. Do you know what that means? I can hear 100% through my bones, which means the brain part and the nerves part are fully recovered. I have a certain amount of audio. This hearing aid here, actually, that's not a speaker to speak into the ear. It actually blocks it because I hear enough that it's noise. So if you're talking to me, it garbles what I'm hearing. This hearing aid hears sound from this side of me. Think about technology. Think about God. Sends a signal to this hearing aid, turns it into audio, and gives two feeds to this ear, audio. One feed is dialed so that my left side of my brain hears it. Therefore, my brain thinks that what I'm hearing that signal is coming from this side. The other audio signal, that side of my brain doesn't recognize it, but this side of my brain recognizes it. And my brain thinks this ear is hearing perfectly well everything over here. So for the first time since I was 4 years old, when somebody's talking to me, I don't go like this and like that. Why? Because I can hear you just as well over here. But you have to understand. You might say, oh, he has to wear hearing aids. No, I get to, because before, hearing aids didn't do anything. Because I was deaf. Even this ear was deaf. All that came back. Some of it instantly, miraculously, and now there's a progression to things. So there, you know, healing means recovery. Yeah. Miracle means instant. Yeah. Healing means recovery. So a lot, I've had miracles. But I also, you know, the reason I'm wearing glasses is because this eye was blind. The meningitis blinded this eye and weakened this one to the point where I was legally blind. about 4 years ago, I didn't realize that this one just kept getting better and better. Remember, it's blind. And it's to the point where somebody says, well, let's check on it. And I was able to correct with glasses this eye that was blind, that with glasses I could see 20/40. I just got this new pair of glasses. I can now see 20/14 in this eye. I'm doing it backwards, this eye. Amen. So it's not that, you have to start wearing glasses. No, I get to wear glasses because I have an eye that's working again. And I believe it. The last three times I've gotten glasses, both eyes have gotten better. It's progressing. And I keep using my faith and believing. So that's part of it. I'm speaking the word about that. But here's the other part about it. I depend on the Holy Ghost to tell me what to do. Now, as I'm praying in tongues about it, the Holy Ghost starts impressing me to go to this woman. She hears the whole story, and she says, now, this isn't a procedure, but I got an idea. I wonder where she got the idea from. And she said, well, we want to try it. If you're willing to do it, we'll try it. We want you to come in every day, Monday through Friday, and I'm going to give you a gentle adjustment and start working with your body, adjusting it. I'm going to bring in a physical therapist who's going to start having you do, at the beginning it was just like stretching and barely doing exercise, whatever that, and then a massage therapist. Now, you know what the difference between somebody who gives you a massage and a massage therapist is? After the massage, you walk out going, oh, so relaxed. After the massage therapy, you're like, ow, oh, ow. I did that Monday through Friday every single day for 2 months, and got to the point where I could stand without crutches, without pain. Now I'm still using the other side and believing God that I'm already healed, but I'm being led by the Holy Ghost how to proceed. You notice I'm standing up and walking.
Yeah.
It's getting better, and it's going to keep getting better. In fact, I was telling Dee, I'm at a point now where they believe it's safe, and the Holy Ghost told me this too, that I'm going to start doing harder resistance weight training. Now, with the program and everything else like that, in the last eight months, I've lost 58 pounds. Wow. And put on 12 or 14 pounds of muscle weight. And I'm still going to drop weight about 5 more pounds. I got a goal of where I'm going to stay. But I'm going to balance that out and keep losing weight one way by putting on muscle weight. And my plan is, I'm being realistic about it, is to be as healthy and as energetic and strong and be able to do work as I did when I was in my late 30s and 40s. Yeah. And I'm already climbing ladders and going on roofs and cutting grass and cutting out bushes and digging out stumps and carrying my grandkids around and doing it and all that other stuff. And I'm going to get better and better and better. But every step of the way with what I do, including my diet, the Holy Ghost has talked to me about, okay, you need to adjust this thing, adjust that thing, and here's where you need to go to find that out, and here's who you should talk to. When I was initially traveling and just coming home stiff, it's the Holy Ghost that led me to, I was at church when he said, go ask the church secretary. Tell her that, when you come home off the trip, not great pain, but you're just stiff, for traveling, whatever, and say, do you have any kind of a problem with your back? Do you deal with that too? Like that. And I'm like, okay. So I go and talk to her. That was a living word. So I go and talk to her and said, yeah, I do. And the Lord introduced me to this guy, this Christian, and found out he's a chiropractor. And I don't see him all the time with that, but I just go from time to time. And just that little tiny thing moves me around. And because of the work that I do, I don't get stiff. And here's his name and number. And while she's talking to me inside, it's going, yeah. So I go there, and first thing he says is, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a missionary. He says, oh, well, first of all, I just want to let you know, you and your whole family can come, and we won't charge you. That's how I tithe the business. Well, praise God. And then, again, I didn't abuse the privilege, but it made all the difference in the world just to have this light adjustment and massage thing, whatever. And then I'm ready for some more mission trips into all these horrible places, amen, and terrible beds and everything else like that. But every step of the way dealing with this, I pray in tongues about what I need to do. And I get understanding of what I'm saying, and I start to understand, oh, I need to start doing this. Or I need to start backing away from this. And he's even instructed me, he says, now, you need to start doing this kind of exercise and this kind of activity, but right now, don't do any kind of activity that's going to be doing this. Because apparently now, if I do those things, I'm going to irritate something. So remember that healing is recovery. It's a process. Let me throw one more scripture at you, and I'll close with this. You know, as I yield in tongues, I begin to get literal detailed leading by the Holy Ghost of what to do. Because when I'm praying in tongues, I'm stirring up the Holy Ghost in me. I'm yielding to him. So because I'm yielding to him, what does he do? He teaches me to profit and leads me in the way that I should go. So I begin to know, go this way, but don't do this. Or, okay, now you've been doing that, whatever that, but that can, you can stop that now. I'm led of the Lord to do that. You know, Pastor Gene has been led of the Lord and the Holy Ghost on how to handle the thing that he was dealing with. Which, by the way, he's already healed. It's already done. It was done the day he got the report and we prayed. Well, he had already prayed alone and then I came in agreement with it. It's already done. That's what our faith is saying. But how many of you know now you need to walk in faith and walk in the Spirit? And I'm telling you, God's practical. Yeah, here's where you go, who you talk to, or you start to talk to somebody, and you just know that you know. I've had the Holy Ghost say, when this conversation is done, don't listen, don't take any of this person's advice, and don't ever talk to them again, while they're talking to me. And I'm just nice and polite, and thank you very much, and move on. And sometimes I find out and understand why, and other times I don't, but hey, he knows. So one of the reasons I pray in tongues is to stay sensitive to him, and continually be obeying him so that he can lead me, he can guide me, he can speak to me. But here's another thing. Praying in tongues, the Bible says when you pray in tongues, I mentioned this morning, praying in tongues, you edify yourself, you build yourself up, you strengthen yourself. You literally stir up the anointing and the Holy Ghost in you. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. You know the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, spirit, soul, and body? How many, if you're born again, he's dwelling in you. So let's take away the if. Since the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in us. So when you pray in tongues, you're stirring up the Spirit in you who's quickening, strengthening, making alive your mortal body. I don't understand how you've healed so fast. In the spring, when I went for my regular checkup, the doctor comes in and she sits there with this real sad look on her face and looks at me and goes, I'm like, what's wrong? And I'm thinking, you know what I was inside? I was going, I believe God's report. I believe God's report. I believe God's report. Isaiah 53. I don't care what she says. I believe God's report. I'm thinking she's going to say, oh, we found this. No, she goes, in the 11 years that I've been actually practicing medicine, I've never, ever been able to say this to a patient. But I'm about to say it to you. And again, I'm going. And she says, and I know it's only because I know you're a Christian believer, but you're a believer that really believes God. And I've watched God work with you. And finally I said, well, what is it? She said, I'm going to have to take you off your medications because you don't need them anymore. How many of you heard people go to the doctor and say, yeah, the doctor says I don't have the condition anymore, so he's taking me off. No, it's, we're going to increase you another 25 milligram, or we're going to add this to it, or right. See, process. She pointed out things that were wrong. I get information about it. I start using my faith against it. And in doing that, yielding to the Holy Ghost, he would give me specifics of things to do in my life. And between my faith and the obedience, see, that's the kick. The getting the what to do and how to do things or not to do by the Spirit, it gives you the do to be in obedience and being a doer of your faith. And see the, how those two work together. So when you pray in tongues, you're stirring up the Holy Ghost for that quickening to be going on in your body. Now, if you're here tonight, there he is. There it is. It's starting to flow right now. I mean, the Holy Ghost has been here, the anointing and presence of God. I get that, but what I mean by that is the anointing is flowing specifically to minister healing. So we're going to channel that. And the way we're going to do that tonight, because sometimes we do it differently. But if you, now listen to me, even if you've already, you found you something wrong, and you've already found got the word, got what the word says, got faith, and you've already made a declaration or a statement of faith that you believe you've already received, and you're standing believing you're already healed, that's fine too. But if you're still having lying symptoms to tell you that what you believe isn't true, we're gonna come against the symptoms. Because the Bible talks about the fact that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's starting to flow right now. Remember the rivers of living water? One of those rivers is healing for the physical body. So if that's you, come on up here and let me and Susan lay hands on you and just transfer that. And then once we do that, all I want you to do is just, Father, I thank you. I received that. I thank you. It's working on my body and finishing off what I believe I have in Jesus Christ. You can say that with your mouth, right? So we're joining, what we're doing is with our faith in the anointing, we're joining with your faith. Amen? Because the Bible says pray for one another.